Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, June 24th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, it's been a crazy 24 hours, to say the least. And if anyone stayed up overnight watching the news and the polling and the voting in Britain and the crisis, as they so called it, but it was good for gold. We had a nice recovery in gold, up $63 right now at $1,320. Gold was about $10 less about a week ago, but still a very nice recovery. And it was really exciting to watch gold last night. It actually was approaching the $100 mark. In the upswing, it started out around the 50, moved to 60s, it'd come back, go to the 70s, come back, go up to the 80s. And I think it was around the 97 points that it was up. And it reminded me of Bob Chapman, because I know all of you who listen to the programs with Bob Chapman would always remember Bob said, you're going to have swings of gold of $100 a day or more. And I think last night was one of the first times we saw $100 move to the upside. Didn't hold it, but we'll take the $63 at $1,320. Silver's up 50 cents at $1,784 off the high of the day of $1,809. Platinum was up $18 at $988. Palladium was down 19 at $550. And of course, the other beneficiary of last night's Brexit was the USDX. The US dollar was up 2.15 at 95.44. Crude oil was down 2.48 at 47.63. And the paper markets today, you had the Dow closing down 610 points, 17,400. Hear a lot of commentary today. Oh, this is the first time the Dow's done this since 1986. Well, even if it was, I think we had bigger drops, you know, after 2008. So I don't know where they were picking up their numbers. But even if we did use that number, I guess it was the biggest open down. And if we did use that number back in 1986, the Dow wasn't 17,000 or 18,000. It was probably like around 2,500. So a big difference, big, big difference. The NASDAQ was down a little over 4%, 202 points at 4,707. The S&P was also down almost three and three quarters, down 76 points at 2,037. 10-year yield, 1.58, down 0.16. That yield also came back a little bit. I think I saw a low of 150 earlier in the day. And, of course, the euro, I think we were just talking yesterday, it was 114. It was 111, down 2.86, but actually came up off that low of the day. And I think the two markets that got hammered the most was Japan. That was down 8%, and Germany was down almost 7%. London was down a little over 3%, and but I think those two were the winners of the day as far as to the downside. It was an interesting thing to watch last night, Al. I was up most of the night watching, so everyone knows what kind of life I have. But it was interesting to see the shock registering on people's faces. And it was interesting to see those who wanted to exit. They were almost giddy as the results were coming in. It was really interesting to watch how the votes were counted. They don't have exit polls. It's done a lot more professionally. And what they did, I don't know if you watched any of the reports, you know, when they were, you know, releasing the various, I don't know if you want to call them counties or whatever they were, districts, I suppose. They would give you the in, the out, the number of votes of each, and then votes that they didn't count. So I thought that was interesting. And there was a big, I guess they gathered like 2 million new registration voters prior to this vote last night. And so, you know, and the people over there thought that it was a good chance that they would try and rig it. To make sure that they stayed. And so people were taking their own pens, because I guess their votes over there, they use pencils. And they were spreading the word to take your black pen so they couldn't, you know, smudge it and change your vote on you. So they know what it's all about. They know what it's done to them at times.
So it's pretty amazing. There's a lot of people who believe that the votes are rigged in a lot of places, even including parts of the United States. Whether that's just a conspiracy theory or there's some foundation behind it is hard to say. But if there was rigging, you would assume, or I would assume at least, that this would be one vote that was going to be rigged. All right. The powers that be, so far as I'm able to understand, they should have, if they could rig the election, they should have rigged the election. And for whatever reason, they failed to do so or were incapable of rigging it enough. Allegedly, it worked out 52-48%. Maybe the real vote was 60-40. And the riggers couldn't rig more than 8% of the vote, and therefore they lost.
I think that's exactly true. Because if you saw the registered shock on their faces, and the thing of this, even, oh, what's his name? Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
He was supposed to do a debate the night before the votes, mm-hmm. and he didn't go. He decided to have dinner with his son, which is fine, but this was supposed to be a really big deal in his book. You'd think he would show up to debate for exiting. But then something else, when they started counting the votes last night, when they just started, I mean, there was hardly any. There was like maybe three or four of the districts that were counted. He pretty much conceded. I thought, well, why is this guy conceding? I mean, it's hardly even started, and yet, and I couldn't figure that out. And I was a little surprised. And so maybe
well,
he apparently didn't
believe they were going to win. He apparently didn't believe that the Brexit vote
well, that's
was,
what I mean. So I'm
was
wondering
going
if
to
they,
win, and therefore, screw this.
So that's what I'm thinking, that maybe perhaps they just couldn't rig it enough to make it win, that the strength of the Exeters was stronger than the – we'll never know, and it's just speculation and so forth. But
one thing about it is this. Again, the point is this, though. For those who believe that elections have been rigged and can be rigged, this is evidence to the contrary.
But you can beat the riggers.
This is evidence. Pardon me?
You can beat the riggers.
It may be. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is cause for a lot of people, this is a cause for surprise. What's going on? The government didn't rig the election. People are surprised by this. We expect the elections to be rigged, or at least some people do. And if it doesn't work out the way we would, the riggers, what's going on? Next thing you know, there'll be a free market for gold instead of an officially suppressed price. I mean, where does it end, Melody?
Well, even Russian's president, Vladimir Putin, said he doesn't understand why there was even a referendum if they didn't want it. He thinks he knows why, but he wasn't going to, you know, share that information. But he didn't understand if they didn't want to leave, then why would they bring up the referendum? You know, and it's true. Why would Cameron do that? He knew, but you know, he wanted to win the election, and he figured that, you know, they would be able to sway public opinion, I guess, or rig it to the point to where they would be able to remain.
Well, when the Brexit movement started out, it was pretty much dismissed as just some crazy idea. And I think they finally just got to a point that fine, let the idiots have their referendum. It'll never work anyway. And it's just a way of, look, you kids, just go ahead, get it out of your system, and then we'll go back and let the adults run the situation. Well,
that's what
didn't happen that way.
Yeah, that's what he did. You know, he promised to hold a referendum on leaving the EU if the Conservative Party won the 2015 election, and that's, you know, and a lot of the pressure was coming from the immigration and a lot of the the immigration is really a big deal.
Of course it is.
And
there are people that are pointing out, we've got one article here that deals with this. I don't know exactly. I've got half a dozen or four articles or something like that, I guess.
Okay.
But a woman speaking about it, she said, this vote was more about national identity than it was economics.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's really a remarkable situation. I mention it from time to time that we live in an economy rather than a nation. And insofar as that's true, we have a completely different system of values to surround us, support us in the economy than we would have in the nation. When we see what she's talking about, the people didn't vote for the economy. They voted for the nation. They voted for national identity. And I think that's something that's going on around the world, including here in the United States, relative to the Trump phenomenon, the Bernie Sanders phenomenon to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the economy, stupid. And Bill Clinton, that was his famous remark, it's the economy, stupid. No, it's not.
Not anymore.
It's the nation. It's national identity. It's fundamental rights. And maybe we don't all need a new mansion, a new McMansion, and a new Tesla automobile. Maybe we would be happier if we lived in a nation that actually stood for something that was originally intended by the founding fathers rather than let's make a fast buck. Yeah. Maybe the real reality show is just now beginning. Not just about the money.
And I think, too, people listening to a lot of interviews and so forth, they say, well, you know, this maybe, you know, the U.S. will see this as a way to get Trump in. I think kind of what's gone on with Trump in the past year, I have a feeling that influenced more of their vote.
Well, it might be.
Mm-hmm. I do.
It might be. They may have taken some, you know, found confidence and hope in the fact that Trump was managing to pull it off in the United States.
And not just it's not Trump. It's the people. It's the people that are saying, no, enough is enough. And it's the people that gave the confidence to those perhaps in Britain. So, but it was Trump who actually, you know,
just showed
gathered the truth.
Someone will stand up. What Trump proved, you know, from a lot of perspectives, up to 6 months ago or so, the idea of Trump's candidacy was just kind of silly. Couldn't possibly win. For struggling against professional politicians. I mean, it was dismissed as something stupid. There won't be enough people. People won't vote for Trump. He's a loser. He can't win. They'll vote for somebody who can win. That's what we always do in this. We don't vote for who we believe in. We vote. We don't want to waste our vote, so we always vote for a winner, or at least many of us try to. Even if we can't stand the guy, we vote for who we think is going to win. A lot of people, in Trump's case, people voted for somebody that conventional wisdom said couldn't possibly win. The populists, the American people stood up and said, no, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. I don't care if he's a politician. I don't care what he is. I want this guy. And I think there's enough other people that I'm not willing to, I'm not afraid of wasting my vote on what may be an impossible choice, an irrational choice. I don't care if he can't win. I'm voting for Trump. We are in a very strange time in terms of politics and economics, and unstable, prone to fragmentation and disintegration, as we see with the Brexit vote in England. I mean, there's a movement down here in Texas mm-hmm. where people are saying they want Texas to become independent, a nation of its own, and depart from the United States. I don't expect it to succeed. Oh, yeah, I get that. I mean, that's always around. Texas is, you know, that's just Texas.
But you do have your own power grid,
We do.
That's pretty powerful.
We do. And Texas all by itself is something like the eighth largest economy in the world. All right? You know, lots of oil, lots of land, lots of cattle and so on. Texas couldn't make it. Now, everybody looks at this with, you know, tongue in cheek. Oh, yeah, yeah, Texas is going to, you know, as if that could happen. And yet here we see Britain leaving the European Union. And we're going to see more countries trying the same. And it may be that we're going to see Hawaii wants to get out of this, out of the United States.
Well, they're ruining Hawaii. From my clients in Hawaii, they're ruining Hawaii.
Probably.
The elite. Are ruining the Hawaii.
Well, my point, regardless, is the forces against unification are rising. The forces that favor disintegration are rising. All right? And we're catching a glimpse of it. And it means that the forces in favor of the New World Order and global government, one world government, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and these NAFTA treaties and the rest of it, the forces against those unification devices are rising. We're going to see more nationalism in the future. And it doesn't mean we'll be better off, we'll be more prosperous. But it might mean that we become more free. And less controlled by external forces. It might be.
Temporarily, yeah.
For a while.
For a while.
I mean, well, freedom isn't free. If you're not willing to pay for freedom, you're not going to be free. If you're not willing to fight for it, you're going to let somebody else do your fighting. You aren't fit for freedom. Don't be surprised if you wind up oppressed. But if you're willing, and enough people are willing to stand up and say, wait, I do not want you elitists telling me what to do. You are not so smart that you can run my life.
I heard one comment, and they were talking about, you know, the capitalism and all that kind of stuff. But it is kind of true. I says, you know what? People get to the point where they become fat and lazy. But they forget how they got there.
Yep.
and you know, now all of a sudden they have all these problems and, you know, unable to deal with it. And, you know, suddenly they wake up and, you know, the situations. But we do know the elite, what they do is they sort of destroy, then they build up, they destroy, they build up, they destroy, they build up.
They don't just build up, they buy up.
They
what
buy
they
up.
Destroy, they buy
they
up.
They have truly
bankrupt.
Destroyed.
They bankrupt.
They have outdone themselves this time. And even though we see various changes in public attitude and a sense of pride of their nations and they want to take it back, there's still a lot of rebuilding that has to be done. What's interesting about this Brexit vote, it's not legally binding. There's a few ways that it could still be blocked or overturned. It would be political suicide if they did, if they went against the will of the people. But again, this is still not a legally binding vote. We talked about the Article 50 of the Treaty of the European Union. Well, that basically establishes procedures for a member state to withdraw. It requires the member state to notify the European Union of its withdrawal and obliges the European Union to then try to negotiate a withdrawal agreement with that state. The Brexit vote does not represent that formal notification. So, again, they have, I guess there's going to be a meeting June 28th and to June 29th of the European Union member countries. And Britain has to invoke that Article 50. It will have a 2-year window in which to negotiate a new treaty to replace the terms of the European Union membership. Britain and the EU leaders would have to hash out issues, you know, migration, tariffs, regulation, everything from cars to agriculture. And but you have countries like Norway. Norway is not a member of the European Union.
Well, why don't we talk more about Norway and whatever, because we're into our commercials, okay. Melody, and we'll be back in a moment
Should've
to talk more about
now.
Brexit. I just did.
Sooner.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Yeah, I just want to tell the listeners, during the break, we were just talking about how fascinating, I think it's fascinating, it's exciting to see something positive, to see where the people actually won.
Yeah.
If this is a win, it's something that they want.
Yeah.
And when if you see the list of districts, if I read it properly and if it was the proper list, it showed that there was only three that actually was ahead.
That were in favor of staying.
That were in favor of staying. It was Scotland, Northern Ireland, and London.
Yep.
And all the other percentages were in the favor of exit. And I think that's what they miscalculated.
It may be that they only rigged the elections, if they rigged them at all. Maybe they only rigged them. We said, we got London, we got Scotland and Northern Ireland. They can't beat us. There's no way.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the rigging took place.
Maybe.
And they just said, oh, the rest of them, they don't cover.
Yeah.
Well, they surprised them. Maybe. We don't know what happened, but nevertheless, it's the sort of thing for those people who are cynical and believe that voting doesn't matter and the whole thing is fixed and rigged and whatever. This is evidence that maybe the voting does matter, and maybe it does count, and maybe you don't have an excuse just to sit on the couch and say, no, I'm not going to, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to vote for it. Maybe it does. This is cause for celebration, you know. It may not, we may live to regret this thing before it's done, but it's not the point, right? It may be that I can't get a new car because of the Brexit. I don't know. It may work out that way before it's all done, but just the same. Do I need that new car as much as I need confidence in the fact that we have some measure of freedom and liberty? Which do I need more? Which do you need more? You know, I think maybe we need that confidence in freedom and liberty and the fact that voting makes a difference and the government is susceptible to the people. Maybe that's enough to make us all a better nation.
I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I think a psychologist or whatever, but I think it's just human nature that we want to be part of something. We want to belong. We want to, and that was taken away from us. And we just have a bunch of people out there just like, you know, a fish out of water. I mean, we have no direction. We have no ties. We have no union in this country anymore. You know, everybody's doing whatever they want to do when they want to do it, and it doesn't work. We don't have a common belief
anymore.
Common
culture, common system of values.
Exactly.
The only thing that happens, again, this is the difference between the nation and the economy. As long as you allow yourself to think in terms of being locked into an economy, then your ultimate system of values goes down to nothing but profit and loss. That's what economics is all about. It's all about the love of money, the worship of money, the tinkering of money. There's virtually nothing in economics that doesn't ultimately implicate more money, more money, more money. Or if you do it badly, less money, less money, less money. And there's other things in life. If you allow yourself to just be concerned with the economy, you're missing something important about the nation, the idea of God-given unalienable rights declared in our Declaration of Independence. If Bill Clinton is right and it's the economy, stupid, then we're in big trouble. On the other hand, if maybe it's not the economy. Maybe it's the God-given unalienable rights. Maybe that's one of the things we should be looking at. Well, Britain got close to that. I was concerned that Britain was going to vote to remain in essentially slavery by staying in the European Union. But Britain did the right thing, my opinion, right? Morally right. Might not be economically right, but morally right. I mean, this is the sort of thing that the English people, in my opinion, they should be proud of this. Sacrifices may have to be made, prices may have to be paid, but they have done something good. And it might be the first time they've done it in a long time.
Well, what's interesting now is the majority of those in favor to exit are the older population.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the younger population wanted to stay. They like more of the freedom of traveling back and forth to all the countries and so forth. But it was the older people that I think understood. And but the big question is, you know, let's look on the other side. Was this done did they want to exit somehow?
You mean, did the elite want to exit somehow?
We know the problems that all of Europe is having. So now they kind of can wash their hands off of some of those problems.
Who can, though? The English, maybe.
That's what
I don't see the rest.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I don't see the English elite trying to wash their hands of Europe's problems by simply saying, well, we're going to bail on this one.
I don't know.
If they're in it, if they're in favor of the New World Order, they had to support England remaining in the European Union. This is so threatening to the global government, one world government, the New World Order. This really shows it's possible for the people to kick up their heels and say, heck no, we don't want to play that game. Now what are they going to do? They have, you know, that we're, the people are so fed up with government lies. Yeah. This is part of what's going on here. This is the same thing we see with Trump. People are so fed up with being lied to by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and virtually all of the politicians. They lie, they lie, they lie. They deceive us. They treat us like morons and idiots, and they think they can get away with it forever. And the public has finally hit the gag reflex and said, we're done with you SOBs. We're done. Right? You're going to deal with us. You're going to treat us like adults. You're going to tell us the truth, or we're going to vote you out of office.
Well, what's interesting, you have Scotland's first minister. They have stated Scotland will seek its own referendum as the Scots, they voted to remain. Ireland's north and south are now talking. They also wish to remain in the EU. But France, Le Pen, already said she would have a referendum on remaining in the decaying EU when in office, which is kind of interesting because I didn't think that she would do that, but... you know, the Dutch anti-immigration politician Geert Wilders said that the Netherlands deserved a Nexit vote. So you're going to have all of these little countries stirring up and taking their pit positions on whether they want to stay or whether they want to leave.
I've got a chart here on who wants referendum. Over 50% of the people in Italy want referendum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, over 50% of the people in France want a referendum. For Sweden, it's
they want to go
about
back to their
45%, Belgium 45%, Poland 40%, Germany 40%, Spain 40%, Hungary 38%, thereabouts. All right, there's all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2, 4, 6, 8 countries out of 28. They want a referendum. And that pretty much indicates at least some of those referendums will succeed if you are in favor of getting out of the European Union. We can figure that there's another two or three countries over the course of the next year or two. There's a high probability that another two or three countries, and maybe something significant or as significant as Italy or France, maybe they're going to bail.
Well, I know Italy wants, they want to get out of the euro. That's what their referendum, I thought, was on the euro. You know, and just like Norway, I was talking about, they're not a member of the European Union, but if they abide by certain rules and so forth, then they get to partake in, part of the trades and, you know, the benefits of what the European Union, if any, has. So, again, they're not quite a member, but yet they get to, you know, if they behave like good little people, they get to...
And the deal is if you will mind your manners, we will mm-hmm.
let you participate.
In our market, in our economy. They're using this notion of economics as a device to persuade people, an apple, all right? The serpents come up with an apple and say, here, Eve, take a bite of this. You'll like it. That's what they're doing. They're saying the economy, you can get into our economy. And some people are saying, wait, that's not enough. If we have to give up our culture, if we have to give up our values that we've held for centuries, it's not enough to get into your economy. It's not that valuable, especially now when we are in the midst of some sort of a recession or perhaps even depression. There have to be, you know, it would be a different situation, and it has been a different situation when economic forces were rising and people were getting more richer and more prosperous. And they said, who cares about national identity? I'm making money, baby. I'm getting more money. And they didn't care. But now that's reversed. Now people are making less money. And under these circumstances, they are no longer so seduced by the promises of economic prosperity. And they're saying, you know, maybe a national identity is not a bad idea.
You know, you hear comments on various, you know, interviews and analysts and so forth. And they talk about that, they want the government to take this decision and execute it as soon as possible, however painful that process may be. And my thought is, painful? Painful to who? Bankers? Multinational corporations? Politicians? The financial markets? I mean, that's who it's going to be painful for. And
it may be made to be painful for England. All right. One of the points about this is that the European Union may decide, you dare to back out of our European Union? Well, we'll show you, and we will see, because we know these other guys, they want to get out too. We're going to set an example for England that is going to scare the bejesus out of the other nations that are thinking about, well, you know, I'd like a referendum. I think we'd like to get out too. I'm not going to argue this is going to happen. But if there's going to be pain, it's going to be imposed on England, perhaps as a lesson to other members of the European Union.
Say, I don't
better not dare. Don't you even talk about it, or we'll slap you down so hard.
I agree that there's going to be pain, but I don't believe it's coming from the European Union to be placed on and to give England as the example. I think their markets, their economies, I think they're on the verge of collapse to begin. You had the Deutsche Bank, their shares fell, 14%, 17% through the evening or higher? Barclays fell 18%. The Lloyds Bank, that crashed by 21%. Royal Bank of Scotland, that dropped by 18%. And then we equal in derivatives and we equal in, now I don't know if this is the main domino that can affect all of these various interworkings of these banks and what they have done, along with the financial markets and the governments. So, you know, so it remains to be seen. I think what we saw today is, you know, pretty much knee-jerk reaction,
yeah,
shock, and so forth. However, you can't take away that Japan dropped 8% last night. You can't take away the fact that Japan's, they were talking about, a week to 2 weeks prior to this vote, they were talking with other central banks to set up a plan as to if this came about. So there's a lot of money funneled into these markets to keep them from falling as they did. So was this truly a knee-jerk reaction? Or were the central banks able to come in here and stem the losses to make everyone believe that this was, you know, we'll see what happens on Monday? So I don't know where this is going to fall.
I think in the long term,
it's going to be bad. This morning, Alan Greenspan told CNBC that this is just the tip of the iceberg. He said he admitted that the Brexit vote could be the start of the worst period since he's been in public office. And he's a very old man. Even worse, he admits that there is very little the Fed can do to address the root of the problem, claiming there's a certain amount that monetary policy can do, but our problem is fundamentally fiscal.
Yep.
So, again,
that it's up to government to either raise or lower taxes or increase or lower spending. But they're putting the burden, when they say fiscal, they mean government. Monetary is the province of the Federal Reserve. That's interest rates and money supply. He's saying, and he's
exactly
not the first one in the Federal Reserve that said, look, there's nothing else we can do. It's up to fiscal now. That means Uncle Sam, the government has to do something if there's going to be anything done. And I don't think there's anything the government can do.
So there was a lot of money buying of the U.S. dollar last night. That's why the dollar is strength so high and our bonds and so forth. So you had a lot of things going on last night, but I do believe they do affect. And we can't forget the derivative markets and everything else because of the poor condition of our it's systemic.
Well,
I mean,
we've got is we're already in such big trouble.
Exactly.
That if one little thing actually happens, it might be we're always talking about the black swan. All right. There's the unexpected, peculiar situation that could topple the whole system. Well,
this very well could be.
In theory, but it's not the fault of Brexit per se.
No.
It's a fact.
But
it's not the
black swan's
problem that the black swan lands on a mountain and the whole mountain collapses. The problem is the mountain is already fractured, weak, and unstable. And one little thing just might be enough to make it collapse. You know, we can blame Brexit, but the truth is the powers that be in the Federal Reserve and the government of the United States, the government of England and so on, they have created circumstances that are incredibly fragile. The deal with the debt, the deal with derivatives, immigration. I don't know. What can we point to that's positive? Anyone got anything positive? Oh, things are getting better.
Gold.
Well, gold is, yeah, but gold doesn't do any good for the government. They're not in love with gold.
No, it's good
for
the gold.
That's just good for the people. All right, gold is good. The rest of it, you know. So the point is, it's not the fault of Brexit. If bad things happen, it shouldn't be an important situation. You want to leave, leave, you know. We'll talk more about this when we return. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I have a little special for the folks. And if you noticed anything at all, if you take anything away from what happened last night, if you were up watching what was going on, I was up most of the night, and you watched gold go up 100 points, everything else was down 8%, 10%, 17%, 20%. You should walk away knowing that these people who tell you that gold is going to $700, that it doesn't make a difference anymore, that you don't need gold in your portfolio anymore, that it's, you know, you need paper, this should tell you the opposite. This should tell you just how strong and important it is to have physical gold and silver in your hands. Okay? I mean, if you could learn anything. And when I was watching that last night, Al, I thought to myself, you know, this is great. I love it. Gold just didn't do $20, did 100.
Yeah.
And
well, that is exactly an illustration of why gold is an insurance policy. Because what we saw in the last day relative to Brexit is just one of any number of unusual events that could take place at any time in the U.S. and global and European economies. We're talking about the swan, the black swan event, that all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it creates, the black swan's just landing on a mountain, just doing its job, all right? The problem is the mountain. The problem is not the swan, the problem is the mountain. And the mountain and all of its problems remain. and that the mountain is susceptible to another black swan. Maybe that nothing comes out of this whole thing may cool down over the course of the next couple of days, you know, or a couple of weeks, and maybe it doesn't amount to much. But maybe not. You know, maybe this is a big situation, and maybe this will trigger other events. So far, I mean, all we've had is a referendum and a bunch of people, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. But what if this referendum on Brexit is enough to indirectly cause Deutsche Bank to collapse?
That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh my God, now we got something. This is just conversation. Brexit by itself is, for the moment at least, it's just conversation. But if it creates circumstances that take Deutsche Bank, which is already clinging on the edge of survival.
And they hold the most derivatives, then...
Yeah, I know. Now, what do you think is going to happen to the price of gold in the event, the hypothetical event, that Deutsche Bank goes down? And the derivative market begins to collapse. What do you think is going to happen to the price of gold? Yesterday, gold jumped up over almost $100 an ounce, at least for a while. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen if, and that was based on conversation. What do you think is going to happen if Deutsche Bank says, sorry, folks, we're actually broke, we're bankrupt, we're finished. What happens then? What do you think the price of gold is going to do? Jump $10, $5, 50 cents? There's no telling what's going to happen, but these are the reasons we live at a time when this mountainous economy has become something, it's just barely holding together. And it's almost certain that something's going to make it collapse. And when it does, you're going to see an event that's going to affect the price of gold multiple times more than what we saw just in the last 24 hours.
I think people that have been listening to this program and been talking to me for over 20 years, they know I don't jump on any bandwagon just because everyone else does. You know, just because, you know, I can sell more gold, just because of this and that. I mean, I research it. I know about it. I learn about it. And, you know, I try to warn folks not to get caught up into it, that it can be just something very simple. And I will let folks know when I think there's something very serious going on. Sometimes I get criticized because I, you know, don't overreact. Even with Donald Trump, I wanted to do my own investigation. I'm just not going to jump on somebody's bandwagon because somebody tells me I should. I want to learn about them. I want to know about them. I want to read about them. I want to be able to talk about them without getting hate mail and have negative comments. This is my way of learning the truth. That's how you find the truth. But I do believe this is a big deal, only because I understand the situation in which these countries and our countries, they're just on their last breath financially.
Maybe.
And I do believe this is going to trigger other events. And again, we just don't know when, but I think it's going to be sooner than later. And then we have our election coming up. And how do you think the markets are going to react to that when Donald Trump gets elected president of the United States? And so I do think, again, gold in valued in the pound last night was up over 17%. Today, we were up how many percent? Look at your papers. Look at your mining shares. Well, they were up 7 and 8%, not a whole lot more than physical gold. Why would you even want to hold physical gold? Or why would you even want to hold mining shares when you could have banks possibly not be able to pay you, or brokerage houses not being able to pay you, Wall Street not being able to pay you? And just because they have gold doesn't mean that they're going to be able to pay you. So again, there is an importance of owning physical gold. If you want to speculate, as I say, day in and day out, if you want to speculate, that's fine. But get that insurance policy. Get that gold and silver. 5%, 10% won't do anything for you. 15%, 20%, you're better off, but not that much better. If you have $100,000 invested in paper, just like your home, you better get it insured with $100,000 of physical gold. That's if you're willing to speculate on the paper markets. We do have some little specials here at Discount Gold and Silver, and it's the same special I run all the time. This is a bullion special, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle coin and 20 American Silver Eagle coins. These are all 2016s, and that special price is $575. $575. And we also have, if you'd like a tube of the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, there's 50 in a tube, and the price on that would be $7,500, $7,500. So either or package is a great thing. If you don't have any fractional pieces, I love the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, and I also love the AU $5 Liberty Gold pieces. That's actually my favorite fractional. It's almost a quarter of an ounce. They perform very well, and they do some exciting things when the prices go up. If you have large sums of funds to invest in gold and silver, we diversify your portfolio. $20 gold pieces, they're still a steal. They do as well as mining shares do. And yet you have something physical in your hand. So if you want to speculate on mining shares, you should probably speculate on some better quality $20 gold pieces. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
There's an article from the Washington Post, and the headline is Britain's Decision to Leave European Union, Warning to America. Okay? Now, they see this as a warning to us. And what you're going to see when you, if we'll get into this article, but what you're going to see is they are essentially, they appear to be advocating the party line for the New World Order and One World Government. They say, oh my gosh, the sky is going to fall. Well, they don't precisely say that, but what they're saying that you better not step out of line. You Americans had better continue to support big government, a growing police state, a North American Union, and the New World Order. Because otherwise, terrible things might happen. They see this as a warning. Again, this is the Washington Post. It says the UK just voted to leave the EU. Here's what that means. That's not exactly true. Here's what it means, according to the Washington Post. And this is interesting. This first part of it, I thought was good. I thought it was important. It says, like everybody else, the author of this article says, like everybody else in London, I woke up this morning after not much sleep to graphic depictions of the pound crashing, the stock exchange collapsing, and markets all over the world in turmoil. I have no doubt that tomorrow or the next day the story will be different. Traders will take a step back and notice that nothing actually has happened yet. All right? There will be cheap assets to pick up. Markets will stabilize. The true impact on Britain and Europe may not be visible for many years. I disagree with that. I think it'll be visible in fairly short period of time, not necessarily weeks, but 12, 24 months, something like that. We'll have a pretty good handle on this, if not a lot sooner. The situation is, pardon me?
How many 12 months?
24. 2 years. They have
for the treaty.
I don't know, negotiate this thing. We'll see what happens. The situation in the UK will be unstable and uncertain for a long time to come, so investments will not take place. Money will not be spent. Opportunities will not be created. They're saying, oh my gosh, because the people of Great Britain were dumb enough to go and depart from the European Union, now the situation will be unstable and uncertain for a long time to come, and investments will not take place. People will say, oh, don't want to invest in England. Those people walked out of the EU economy. All right? And they're saying this is going to cause trouble for England. I'm not convinced that's true, but it's their position. Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you because what you're saying is very important. But I just saw a headline here, and this thought came to my mind about the mayor of London.
Muslim.
He's a Muslim, and it's interesting because he's making a message to the European residents living in London that you're very welcomed here. He's talking about the immigrants, how grateful they are, and that they can come at any time. They're always welcome. So when you see that London wanted to remain, but all the surrounding areas wanted to leave, what's that going to do? I mean,
well, there's going to be hits. London's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out if the people in the suburbs or the rural portions of England are going to put up with a London, which, like Washington, D.C., looks like it's engaged in acts of treason rather than hospitality.
Yeah.
All right? Well, watch and see. I mean, we are seeing an important event here. Brexit in and of itself, the vote they cast, it's as I said in this article, nothing yet has really happened. They just voted on something. They're going to leave, but they're not leaving tomorrow. There's a great psychological impact here, but there is no actual impact just yet. But there could be. As we were talking about earlier, who knows? Deutsche Bank may just hit the wall on this thing, and it might be just enough. They're so fragile already. You know, one little tap, and oh, my gosh, Deutsche Bank collapses, and we can blame. Who will we blame if Deutsche Bank collapses, Melody? Will we blame the people that run Deutsche Bank? Will we blame the gamblers and the criminals that are running that institution?
I'm going to blame
you.
No,
let's blame the English people. Okay. They voted for Brexit. They're the ones that are responsible for this. You know? I don't know.
I'm going to blame you.
Well, it's all right. I don't mind. I get blamed for a lot of things. Sometimes the accusations are even correct. I don't necessarily admit them, but sometimes they're correct.
But you're going to have a lot of inside turmoil, pretty much like what we're seeing here in the States. And I think that's going to filter through and throughout England. But I just, the guy's a Muslim, and London is the financial hub of the world, so.
Well, you know, Ball Craig Roberts, he was arguing that the Brexit movement was supported by the United States the Remain movement was supported by the by Wall Street and the government of the United States because it would tend to destroy London as a financial center, and it would leave the financial center all to the Wall Street and the United States. So that was his argument on this. I don't know where does it end?
Lots of opinions.
You can exactly right, and conspiracy theories and rest. They're all interesting, fascinating. Some of them may even be true, but you take all the truth you know and you can probably fit it in your wallet, and you take all the information that you think might be true, and you probably need a barn, all right, to fit all the stuff that might be true. What we know for sure we can put in our wallet. What we think or suspect, we may need a barn to conceal all of that. We've got about 45 seconds left. Melody, you want to remind people about your special or anything?
Yeah, I certainly do. We have one 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 American Silver Eagles, and those are all 1 ounce, and these are all 2016s for the date, and that special package price is $575. And if you just like to have some gold and you don't have any small fractional pieces, we have 50 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. It's a tube of 50. They come in at $7,500, and that also includes your shipping costs. But they have to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, our radio programs are archived there.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. Have a good weekend. Melody and I will be back next Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, always funny.